Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to film sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Film lovers, welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today you have what is, and I mean this in the all positive sense, you have a stellar routine film sociology program. We have a regular guest who we'll get to in a moment. We have shameless plugging, which I've been known to do, and we will cover the gamuts from crime comedies to, well, stuff that movies that come out in October to stuff that's been sent to me that's borderline erotica, but we will word it carefully here at Film Sociology and occasionally Stage Sociology. Stop shaking your head. It's going to happen. But ladies and gentlemen, I have company, and the door is closed, but it does not matter. The Count from Transylvania, he can turn into fog and mist and go through doors easily. Ladies and gentlemen, a thing who needs no introduction, he'll introduce himself.
Good evening, Matthew. It's certainly horrible to be here in your crypt once again.
It's just public radio, but thank you. Yes, good to see you. Sammy Terry is here, ladies and gentlemen, and it is the most horrible time of the year, if Andy Williams ever sang that.
If only small children would gather around and chant around me with gothically horrible tunes like they do that Sandy Claus guy.
So maybe the movie Sammy Terry's Conquers the Martian should happen.
Oh, why, that would be delightful, those little children.
Or if you want wretched children to run around you, go to the Carter House. They might help you out there. So Sammy Terry is going to be all over Central Indiana, because it is October, and you can go to sammyterry.com, find out where he is, will he be in your neighborhood, whether you ask about it or not. He'll bring the property value up.
Always up. Who wouldn't? And believe me, if my fiends move in next door, it'll be the most peaceful, serene, quiet graveyard in the world. For my neighbors, don't make a sound.
Here comes the neighborhood. So, yeah, he is all over, but we'll get to them in a little bit. Let's get through some business of new films opening this weekend. New on theaters this week is a film that was originally announced as the last film for actor Robert Redford. And he was interviewed on CBS Sunday Morning, and that's, I believe, where it was first proclaimed. And he's already kind of backpedaled on that, saying, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Because you never say never in show business. Sammy Terry knows this.
That's right. Things that endure forever, just like Cher announcing her next last tour.
That's right. And hopefully Ozzy Osbourne is on the mend so he can get well and plan the next final tour. But anyway, but I believe Redford is 83, but he's got a new film out called The Old Man and the Gun. And I will say, if this is his final film as an actor, because the man can still direct, if this is it, not a bad way to go. Not a bad way to go at all. He plays Forrest Tucker. No, not that Forrest Tucker. And if you know the internet rumors about that Forrest Tucker, well, good for you. We're not talking about that here. But he, Sammy Lass, he knows what I'm talking about. He plays an aging bank robber who is out and about. And this is a guy we find out is it an addiction for this character, or he just enjoys doing it? Apparently he lives his life by robbing people and robbing banks, I should say. And things come to a head as he's getting older. He also meets a woman who is having car trouble, and they wind up sparking and doing a really nice low-key relationship played by Sissy Spacek. Really, and this is a really solid cast. You have Danny Glover, Tom Waits, some people's favorite Renfield, playing guys who work with Redford. You also have Casey Affleck playing the cop on the hunt of the Redford character. Think of this as a kind of rumpled, loose-fitting version of Heat, because you have the cop who's determined, and the Redford character, the Forrest Tucker character, has escaped prison, I believe, over a dozen times, and they do address that. They also get to do the fun thing of using old Redford headshots to remind you of how damn gorgeous he was in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And 80s. All right, fine, always. He's timeless, like Sammy.
That's exactly right. Those of us who aren't alive, we maintain our beauty forever.
And sometimes it's in the eyes and soul of the beholder. So, yeah. But, yeah, so anyway, it is. But I talked with my wife about this, and I think she's even interested in it, and she is not a crime film person. It's the why would you want to spend time with these people, present company excluded, but because you have really laid-back, casual performances by Redford, by Spacek, by Waits and Glover and Affleck and everybody involved. I mean, it's a nice, loose-fitting film, and it's an enjoyable romp. In fact, I mentioned I used the comparison to Heat. If you know the famous confrontation, not really confrontation, but if you know the famous two-person scene in Heat with De Niro and Pacino, there's kind of a little homage to that with the Affleck character and the Redford character, and it's done in a men's room. So take that for what it is. But anyway, if you want something low-key and not loud and obnoxious, go check out The Old Man and the Gun. It is a lot of fun. Okay, so because it is October, and Sammy Terry is here, of course. We have the Midnight Madness happening at Keystone Arts. We are of man and being that we remember when the midnight movies were quite often always happening. Of course, I have to give kudos to Keystone Arts for doing this in the summer and doing it in October. So because, yes, we know your television is huge, but there is something about actually going to a movie at midnight and devoting your time and energy and maybe not being the most functional person the next morning and going to see a movie at midnight.
Well, that's exactly right. For when you sit in a large movie theater in front of that great silver screen, You know that there are entities, beings, and spirits all around you, for the midnight hour is when they start to develop. They crawl out of their dusty, cold, dark corners. They're in the room with you. You don't have the comfy comfort of your big comfy couch, or your little werewolf doggy, or your cyber-tooth kitty cat at your side, for you're sitting there in a mammoth room watching the mammoth screen. So I encourage all of you, if you don't frequent the midnight hour, do it at the Midnight Madness Theater.
What he said. So, if you're listening to this on Saturday, and good for you if you are, at midnight tonight, the acclaimed Japanese horror film House is happening at midnight. October 19th and 20th, Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, with Bruce Campbell and his chin. That's, of course, directed by Sam Raimi. One of the first extreme horror films to incorporate humor into its horror. I remember seeing The Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, in the theaters with my dad and brother. I was 13, and there was some humor, but not as much. And this was not the Freddy Krueger, James Bond-like one-liners. There's some actually goofy stuff happening blended in with a lot of blood and gore.
Bruce does a great job. He's actually developed quite a bit as an actor, and he has this natural comedic spirit about him now, and it permeates through all of his shows, whether they're TV or big screen related. So I very much enjoy all of Bruce's work now.
You ever cross paths with him?
Of course. No problem at all. In fact, I've asked him many times to send me his chainsaw or any of the other appendages that he has laying around.
His boomstick. So, yeah, Evil Dead 2 happening October 19th and 20th at Keystone Arts. And then October 26th and 27th, the 30th anniversary, newly digitally restored, Tim Burton's Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
He's not here, but you're still here.
Well, I would imagine that with my awesome negative presence, he would shy and cower in the corner.
Plus, we can't afford Keaton. So anyway, so you can go check that out at Keystone Arts. And you taught Sammy talking about the spirits being around the theater. The bar is also open till about midnight at the theater. Just saying.
That's right. You should go get yourself a little type O cocktail like Sammy.
Yeah, how do you, I know you make the typo at home. Can other people do it, or they do some variation of it at the local watering hole?
Well, as you know, Matthew, I always save my reveals of amazing, outstanding new products or events for your radio show. And today, I am announcing the very first production run of Sammy Terry's Typo Cocktail Mixer.
I got a bottle right here. Actual glass.
Oh, it's taken Goolsby and George months of draining bodies, mixing the herbs and spices like Colonel Sanders in, making sure we get just the right mixture. You'll be able to buy the Sammy Terry Typo Cocktail Mixer on the SammyTerry.com website in the store or at any of my live events.
By the way, since you name-dropped him, I believe you have 12 herbs and spices just to get back at Colonel Sanders. For taking the bit about 50 years ago.
Still waiting for those royalty checks.
Okay, it's story time. Gather around Uncle Sammy. He's going to tell you the story of the time Sammy Terry and Colonel Sanders crossed paths. This actually happened.
In 1958, my creator, Robert Carter, working for WTTV Channel 4, he did a daytime talk show 3 hours every day on live TV. There were no commercial breaks, for there was no recorded commercials in that day. For the host, like our great Matthew Soucy today, has to do all of the commercials live, so they would typically just turn to camera 2, talk about whatever the product was, and then turn back to their guest and continue their interview. But on this particular day, he had an older gentleman from Kentucky who had a new concept in restaurants that he would only sell one product in his restaurant. So it was quite the novel idea. It was fried chicken. Brand new concept. So with the multiple commercials that went on through the three-hour time period, eventually our host Robert Carter ran out of napkins. And being that there was a slight amount of grease, if you've ever tried it. On one particular time, he looked straight into the camera, not having a napkin for his fingers, sequentially licked off the grease off of each one of his digits, looked into the camera, and said, "Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's finger-licking good." And from that day on, Colonel Sanders adopted that as his official slogan for Kentucky Fried Chicken.
So we've also learned when you're doing public shows and live TV and you do public spots like Sammy Terry does, have a lawyer with you in a contract.
The dungeon would have appreciated that.
So, yeah, and by the way, because you mentioned live TV, which we really appreciate, and we try to do it from time to time, I of course, am an advocate of live radio whenever possible, but it's always a reminder.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!
Yeah, except you're not, Bill. Anyway, you can go to SammyTerry.com for all the information on that. But yeah, congratulations. Yes, yeah, so you can try to make your own version of the Typo cocktail mixer. You can do it with vodka. I know you can do it with there is people that like tomato juice and beer. This is going to be a little more upscale than that.
That's so correct. It's an excellent mix. You'll very much enjoy it. Mix it with your favorite spirit of choice, even beer.
And we'll get to that. And by the way, if you're not a drinker, put it in your omelet. Mix it with your egg. So speaking of beer, boy, you bring this up. Boy, Sammy Terry, beer, movie talk. You think this is a job. But you're listening to Film Sociology here on WFYI. You have a deal because there are so many local breweries out here. We try to listen local and eat local and drink local. But you, Mr. Terry, have news involving a local brewery.
I most certainly do. For all of you that have been watching the Sammy Terry YouTube channel every Friday in October, I'm bringing you the Sammy Terry Show. So make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. For just last week, I had a couple gentlemen in from one of our local breweries, Scarlet Lane Brewery over in McCordsville, Indiana. Oh, they came in and as special guests of Sammy Terry. For I wouldn't let them out until we had a deal. And the deal is, in 2019, you will be able to take part in the very first Sammy Terry Blood Brew made by Scarlet Lane Brewery. So next year, you may be able to take your Sammy Terry Blood Brew beer, mix it with your Typo cocktail mixer, and have a delishly delicious mixture.
Now, do you get a say in as far as flavors, hints, what is how it's brewed, what kind it is brewed?
Of course, there will certainly be authentic blood, real blood, siphoned directly. Maybe not the jugular, maybe a blood orange, but we're sure that it's going to be real blood from a blood product.
And would if you drank this, would this make you make your skin pale? Ale?
Pale ale. Very well done. I don't get tripped up very often, but you just did it, young man.
If I'm young, you're slightly younger. If I'm old, you're ancient. Anyway, but yeah, so anyway, go check that out in McCordsville. Keep bothering them. I can't wait for the photo shoot for you to be on the can, bottle, growler, keg, whatever. So, and it's easy for Sammy to do keg stands. He's weightless, so
exactly.
and literally the beer runs through him, so.
There you go. Shoot me with a gun, it doesn't matter, it just means I can drink more beer from Scarlet Lane Brewery.
So congratulations. Go to SammyTerry.com for all the information on that, and go wait for that in 2019. That will be fun. Okay. Going to the drive-in, and we are in Indiana, and drive-ins are still open in October. I love it. You know why? Because you're Midwest tough. Put on an extra layer. It's okay. So, at the drive-in at the Tibbs, And these are just fat. We'll find out if these pairings connect in any way, shape, or form, or they just put two films together. Screen one, First Man and Night School. First Man, of course, Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong. It's directed by Damien Chazelle, who directed him in La La Land, and, of course, Whiplash. Space can be scary. Can it, Sam? In space, no one can hear you scream or your laugh?
Oh, it can certainly suck the life out of you.
And probably the new Kevin Hart film will do the same. So that is happening at screen one. Screen two, Bad Times at the El Royale. This is a, if you miss, not just if you, not that you miss Tarantino films, if you miss the Tarantino knockoff films of the 90s, I believe this is a throwback to that. John Hamm, Jeff Bridges, Dakota Johnson, Chris Hemsworth, all at a hotel, casino on the California-Nevada border in the 70s. So snappy dialogue and a little bit of gunplay will be happening there. Screen two, The Predator. Does The Predator go into your wheelhouse, kind of?
Oh, most certainly. For Sammy Terry throughout the years, most affiliated with horror movies, but also science fiction, like Plan 9 from Outer Space, one of the great mixtures between sci-fi horror and horrible, available on SammyTerry.com.
And Bella and his chiropractor and his wife and Edward's wife's chiropractor and
Tor Johnson. All the gang.
And the shot, one shot is in day and the other shot's at night. So, yes, that's fun stuff there. But I think the Predator might be that's why you have the giant bug zapper outside the castle.
Good move, yes.
Screen three. Oh, yes. Venom. Tom Hardy is a, Venom is a villain in the Spider-Man world of Marvel, but we have an origin story with Tom Hardy playing a reporter who gets, well, through Marvel-like circumstances, turns into Venom. Honestly, I haven't seen this, but I know there's been mixed reactions to the film, but it seems like there is a little Jekyll and Hyde aspect to the Venom character.
There certainly is. In fact, in the Venom side, he's a dentist's dream.
Yes, and we'll see if Tom Hardy is if you understand what he's saying in this, and I love Tom Hardy. So anyway, Tom Hardy is screen three. You have Venom, and still out there, because it's in October, the horror film The Nun. And if you grew up in a Catholic school, that's a horror film in and of itself.
That's exactly right. Lots of rulers and knuckles, I hear.
And then finally in screen four, this is maybe 101 for the kids. And no, oh my God, it is technically a Jack Black double feature. On screen four, Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, and The House with a Clock in Its Walls.
Excellent. Both very good primers for those early years.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, House with the Clock in Its Walls, a PG movie directed by Eli Roth. So there you go. But that's, anyway, that is happening over at the Tibbs. Over at the Skyline, and I know you did a thing at the Skyline earlier this year, is that right?
I most certainly did. If you've not seen Sammy Terry at one of his multiple drive-in events, make sure you do, and the Skyline is the tops.
Okay, at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville this weekend, they are showing... Come on, page refresh. Ah! Ooh. Ooh. 8 o'clock, Friday the 13th, the final chapter. I believe they started on the other ones the week before, maybe. And then at 10 o'clock, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, because...
You can't have a final chapter without a new beginning, like Robert Redford's last movie and Cher's last concert tour.
So thanks, Paramount, for that. And it kept going. And then at 12 a.m., midnight. Now, I don't know. I'm not sure if this is both nights, but you might want to check. What I do love about the Skyline is they will... do two regular features, and then the late feature might be an old film, so old I don't even know it. Maybe Sammy doesn't know it. It sounds like the guy who would kind of pitch a drive-in movie at a friend's wake. But anyway, at midnight from 1976, Drive-In Massacre.
Drive-In Massacre.
Here is the description. Two police detectives try to catch a serial killer who is stalking a rural California drive-in theater, randomly killing people with a sword. John F. Goff, Steve Vincent, and Douglas Goodbye, G-U-D-B-Y-E. And it's one of those films that has, and it's, I can't read it, it's too small, but it's one of those posters with a big old warning on it. You know, because that brings the kids in.
It certainly does.
William Castle, I believe, was probably the first one to start doing stuff like
he
that.
He did. Way back in the days, he would do outstanding promotions at all the local theaters. He would bring in all kinds of extra props and things. He was warning people that if you watched this movie, you may lose your sight, your sanity, or anything of your life. And it was very effective, for when you warn someone, don't look at the accident scene. They always look at the accident scene.
Kind of like when the waitstaff tells you to not touch the plate. It's hot.
It's hot. The fires of hell could not hold me back from grabbing hold of that plate.
Anyway, that is happening at the Skyline Drive-In Massacre. My goodness. Okay, heading down to IU for the IU Cinema. By the way, you're listening to Film Sociology here at WFYI. Sammy Terry's hanging out with me. If you are listening on Saturday, good for you. Saturday, October 13th at IU Cinema at 4 o'clock. You could still make it. From 2017, the International Art House series, the drama The Third Murder. Don't know. 7 o'clock as a part of the Underground Film Series from 1970, Eden and After. Sunday the 14th at 1 o'clock as a part of the CineKids International Children's Film Series and the International Art House Series, Liana from 2017. And then at 4 o'clock from 1985, I remember reviewing this, not fun, at 4 o'clock, Baby Secret of the Lost Legend from 1985. Monday, October 15th at 7 o'clock is a part of the Irish Pride Equality in Ireland film series, Breakfast on Pluto with Cillian Murphy. Thursday, the 18th at 7 o'clock, and director and artist Shelley Silver will be here to present Shelley's film from 2017 and 2000, a reissue in 2017 from 2004. Her film, A Strange New Beauty, What I'm Looking For. Friday, October 19th. Ooh, now this... They have the strangest double feature, and I don't think they're actually linked together as double features, but, you know, you go back in line and see a second film. But the pairings are wonderfully odd at times. Friday, October 19th, it's a series called Jurassically Yours, Extinct But Not Forgotten, at 7 o'clock from 1925, The Lost World.
Ooh, the classic Lost World.
With live guitar accompaniment from Jason Fickle. So, a silent movie with live music. If you've never experienced that, go do that.
That would be excellent. And I'll also have one for you here.
Yes?
At the Indiana Landmarks on Friday the 26th. We'll be celebrating Frankenstein. It's the 200-year anniversary of Mary Shelley's novel this year. So Indiana Landmarks Center is going to be celebrating their typical silent Halloween movie featuring Frankenstein, but two movies of Frankenstein. The first, the 1910 kinetoscope.
Ooh.
Thomas Edison personally made this very early Frankenstein movie, silent, of course. And there will be a vocal group with a brand new composition from the University of Indianapolis there to sing the accompaniment of that silent film, much like the guitarist will accompany The Lost World.
See, ladies and gentlemen, Sammy Terry gets classy gigs from time to time, too.
Exactly. Come and see the beautiful aura of the light show inside the beautiful auditorium of the Indiana Landmark Center, Friday, August 26th at 6 p.m.
There you go, SammyTerry.com for all that info. So, Lost World at 7 o'clock. Hopefully the ladies in this film wear flats and not heels. Hi, Bryce. And then at 10 o'clock, Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. That's that's a comedy drama as a part of the Not Quite Midnight series at 10 o'clock. Married people, married men, we will just move on and not say anything about that title. Saturday, August 20th, 4 o'clock, Ingmar Bergman, Shame, followed by 7 o'clock, The Queen of Ireland, the 2016 Irish Pride documentary. They're Good double bill. Sweden and Ireland. Sunday, October 21st. Oh, my. At 1 o'clock from 1966, The Trouble with Angels. I believe that is. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm saying that right. Yeah, that's the Ida Lupino film. I'm not thinking of the Rosalind Russell Nunn films where angels tread feet. Anyway, Monday the 22nd for you hockey fans out there at 7 o'clock, Red Army. The Fade on Sunday the 21st at 4 o'clock. And Thursday, October 25th, a little bit of science fiction, a little bit of comedy. And this film got made partially because of the success of the horror documentary Get Out from 2018, 7 o'clock, Sorry to Bother You.
So, interesting. A Thursday night premiere.
Exactly. Were you a fan of Get Out, Sammy?
I was. Oh, there's nothing more than a haunted-ish type of house where you're trying to escape, but you can't. You think you did. You went in thinking you were going to get something, but it got you instead.
There you go. Also a documentary. I'm saying that. So, okay. So anyway, all of that is happening at IU Cinema. While we are in the shameless plugging department with Sammy Terry here, October 19th and 20th, 26th and 27th at 7:30 p.m. all of those days, Sunday the 28th at 2 p.m. at Richmond Civic Theater. This is in Richmond, Indiana, on the east side of the state. It is 70 minutes from WFYI to Richmond Civic. Trust me, I know. Richmond Civic Theater will be doing a production of Dracula, the Stephen Dietz adaptation of the famous story of everyone's favorite bloodsucker. And full disclosure, I will be in the play portraying Professor Van Helsing, the original hot vampire slayer.
Exactly. I assume you'll have the big trench coat with you. Maybe not.
I'm going to skip past the trench coat jokes. And but anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's what's interesting. Everybody has their own image of Dracula and Van Helsing and Harker and Mina and all these ones. And I mean, for a lot of people, it's Edward Von Sloan, who played the original Van Helsing in 1931's Dracula with Bella. And it runs the gamut from people like Laurence Olivier, Anthony Hopkins. The less we say about Hugh Jackman's, the better. And then, of course, I get a chance to play this. So I'm very, very excited about this. So if you get a chance and want to see what I look like, and, well, you know, you're a better person if you do. But, yeah, go to Richmond Civic Theater. You can go to gorct.org for tickets. You might see Sammy Terry at the Sunday matinee. Maybe. Just maybe.
Oh, I certainly plan to attend, and George can't wait, for he loves to crawl up in those banisters across the top, slide along the light riggings, and watch from his hide-piercing place where he can get that bird's-eye view. So make sure you all go see Dracula in Richmond, any one of their weekend performances in late October. And you're right, Matthew. Everyone's perception of horror and characters are always different. And that's the beauty of live theater, is the adaptation and your personal expression of how you develop the character is very good for everyone's perception to grow larger and to understand the depth of a character. So if you've ever had Dracula pigeonholed in your mind, make sure you come to Richmond so you can expand your wealth of knowledge, much like all the listeners of WFYI. Radio for smart people.
Just like I always tell people, and it still pops up, it's when sometimes when you talk about the original creator and it's the original, there are some people that are still roaming the earth and you know who they are. Hopefully it's not you. You know the ones that say it's the original creator and nobody else. Like, well, that's not the case. First off, creator gave his blessing. Second off, still roaming and is still good. Third off, point to your head, point to your heart, and point to your soul. He's still there regardless. Get over it. It's fine. It's great to have Sammy Terry in 2018.
There's our media rant for the day. That's good.
That's excellent. And if you'll only accept the very first of the James Bonds, you'll miss a whole lot of fun.
Exactly. So if you want to come talk pop culture and everything, go see Dracula, come see Sammy Terry. I plugged my stuff, Sammy. What do you have coming up the next couple of weeks in October?
Oh, all kinds of excitement, for this is my birthday celebration month, commencing with my birthday. But first, I'll be at the Key Haunted House on the east side of Indianapolis. Oh, they've taken all of their haunted escape rooms for the month of October, turned them into one huge, winding haunted house. Now, this is a permanent structure, so it's far more developed than all of the other temporary haunted houses in the city. It's at 47th and Post Road. Go to thekeyindy.com for all information of when you can go to the Key Haunted House. And Saturday, the day that you're listening to this broadcast, hopefully, or maybe it was yesterday or a few days ago for you, but at 6 p.m., I will be in Peru, Indiana. Oh, there at their second Saturday festival and celebration that they have downtown in City Hall. So come to Peru and see Sammy, Terry, in a meet and greet at 6 p.m. Then,
actually, I have a question. Because it's Peru, is there a circus tent of horror?
There certainly should be. In fact, years ago, Peru, Indiana, and the Clown College there was very instrumental in the very early development of Sammy Terry. For he would not have the appearance he has today, the beautiful countenance, if it was not for the clowns that helped him get there.
We can't verify the rumor that Peru, Indiana, is where Pennywise goes on summer vacation, but you can check that out for yourself. And by the way, one of the escape rooms, isn't Plan 9 just playing on a loop?
Well, pretty much it should, for there's all kinds of escape rooms in there. And if the Sammy Terry dungeon escape room is there, you can spend an hour in my dungeon. And if you don't get out in an hour, I keep you forever. But you have to solve puzzles, all kinds of riddles, all kinds of games. Oh, people have a horribly wonderful time there. Make sure you go to thekeyindy.com. And then on Sunday, October 14th, I will be in Martinsville, Indiana. Oh, that's this weekend, of their Fall Foliage Festival. And it all ends on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. at the Arts Sanctuary in Martinsville. I'll be performing the Sammy Terry stage show there. Come see my stage show. You can be in my game show portion. I may hypnotize you on stage. There's all kinds of throw-outs and throw-ups to the audience. So you'll certainly have a great time in Martinsville, 6 p.m., October 14th. Then the following week, on Friday, October 19th, as I mentioned, every Friday in October I do a YouTube Live broadcast, so make sure you subscribe to the YouTube Live channel at Sammy Terry. I will be doing that at 8 p.m. I'll be interviewing the great Indiana artist John Rogers and his son from Brazil, Indiana. Oh, he's created and crafted so many Sammy Terry sculptures and paintings and things. He's bringing them all to my dungeon so that you can see the great works he does. And in fact, you can buy either his plate or his statue that he made of Sammy at SammyTerry.com as well. Then, October 20th, talking about movie shows, I will be in Washington, Indiana, at the Indiana Theater, doing a full stage show at 2 p.m. matinee. Oh, that Indiana Theater is a beautifully restored theater down there. And after my performance at 2 p.m., you'll be able to choose which movie you want to see. Whether you go into Goosebumps 2 or you go into the new Halloween is up to you. And that will be on Saturday, October 20th at 2 p.m. And later that evening at 6 p.m., I will jump into my Gulfstream hearse and we'll blow up the room to Bloomington, Indiana. And I will be outside at the Starlight Drive-In there. And at 6 p.m., I'll be doing my stage show with the hypnosis and the game shows, horrible stories for everyone. And then when the inky blackness takes over the night, you'll be treated to Halloween on the big screen with another horror feature after that one. So come see me in Washington, Indiana, in Bloomington, Saturday, October 20th.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Sammy. Do you also do the cocktail over at IU on campus?
Oh, most certainly should. And in fact, over on campus at Campus Costume, they have a brand new haunted attraction that you should take a look at this year. If you're in B-Town, make sure that you go to the Campus Costume haunted attraction there on College Avenue.
By the way,
it's
more
to die for.
More frightening than Sammy Terry, drunk frat guys on campus. Beware.
Oh, I tell you, they're the most horrible things on earth. The following week, October 26th on Friday at 6 p.m., Indiana Landmarks, as I mentioned earlier, will be showing two films of Frankenstein, the 1910, and then the Boris Karloff talkie film. After that, the following evening, October 27th, getting very deep into the month, I will be in Terre Haute, Indiana, at the Moonlight Drive-In. It's a brand new drive-in this year.
Congratulations!
From the ground up, brand new. I was so hopeful that it was built on top of some kind of a burial ground, but they assure me you'll be safe when you come. I'm sorry. But there I'll be doing my stage show at the Moonlight Drive-In in Terre Haute. At 7 o'clock, you'll also get treated to Halloween, as well as a second feature there as well. Then, Monday, October 29th, I'll be back over at Terre Haute on the campus of Indiana State University for their performing arts series. They are having the Aquila Theater Group perform Frankenstein on stage. So if you enjoy Matthew Soucy and Dracula over in Richmond, make sure that you make time to head over to the other side of the state, the west coast of the state, to Indiana State University and catch Frankenstein on stage, hosted by Sammy Terry on Monday, October 29th.
By the way, shout out to our WISU brothers and sisters over at Indiana State. So yeah, live theater's worth driving for as a Sammy. So there.
It certainly is. So catch us there. And then, of course, Wednesday, October 31st, the very pinnacle of the year, greater than any late December-ish type of wasteful Halloween horror type of holiday. October 31st, my birthday, the event that Halloween was structured around and for. I'll be presenting the Sammy Terry Show on SammyTerry.com, my Facebook Live, and my YouTube Live, all synchronized together. I'll be showing you Frankenstein, and we'll have all kinds of horrible guests and all kinds of celebration for me on Wednesday, October 31st at 8 p.m., after your little tooth decay seeking dwellers come in from the cold, gather them around your screen. Broadcast me on the YouTube on your big screen. Make sure that you've locked your window and bolted your doors and get ready for Sammy Terry's 56th Halloween presentation. And all of these dates and all things Sammy Terry are available on SammyTerry.com.
Don't look a day over 356.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm curious, Sammy, because every now and then, first off, I mean, you know, October 30th, that's the big day. I mean, you must get countless offers to you know, that's the day as far as, and then being able to work it all out. Hopefully you get to sleep in November a little bit. But I was wondering, because you go on YouTube. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can go on YouTube, and because we are here at Film Sociology, we are huge fans of the local horror show host. It is a lost art, horror, two syllables. And every now and then you can go on YouTube and you can see old clips of Sammy Terry from various eras. Do people still send you clips from time to time?
Yes, they do. And in fact, if any of your listeners have old clips, send me an email at events@sammyterry.com. I'm always interested in finding vintage footage. For as you know, Matthew, the number of times that WTTV Channel 4 were bought and sold throughout the decades,
yeah.
Every time all copies of everything official were destroyed to avoid copyright problems. Therefore, the only remnants of the earlier years of Sammy are left in VHS, Betamax, or old 8mm films. If anyone has any of those, I'm very interested. So make sure you reach out to me at events@sammyterry.com.
Now, just to be, you might not get a financial gain from it, but you will help preserve Indiana broadcast history if you do so.
Oh, that's right. And if indeed you have something that I don't already have in my library, oh, with the number of Sammy Terry shirts and autographs and my DVD collection, I'll certainly make it worth your while.
And by the way, just a friendly reminder, because I actually told the story of the Dracula cast, don't do business deals at a wake. Just don't. Just keep that in mind for future ideas. All right, so Sammy Terry's hanging out with me. We still got about a quarter left of the show, but I do want to catch up on some videos that have been sent to me recently. They're not necessarily related, but that's never stopped us before. That's this show. New on Blu-ray, and this is from Film Movement Classics. Of course, I call it the Film of the Month Club. They send more than one film a month. But a film version of the 1991 film of Edward II, based on the play by Christopher Marlowe. Not Shakespeare, Marlowe, but it's Stephen Waddington, Andrew Tiernan, and a young Tilda Swinton. And it's the story of Edward II taking the crown and what happens when he brings his lover into a high position of power. And this is a film that it's starkly directed, starkly spaced. I mean, they use maybe a very minimal setting, good acting across the board, also a big early advocate of gay cinema because the lover is of the same gender. And so it's a mixture of classical theater with modern relations. And so anyway, and it's a good restored print. So go check that out as Film Movement Classics. You also get a vocal performance from Annie Lennox. So, you know,
really?
Kudos for that. That may be worth it
just for that.
It is, because here you have this classical play and you get music by Annie Lennox, which is always good.
It is.
Also on Film Movement, a documentary called 100 Years of the Russian Avant-Garde Revolution, New Art for a New World. And this talks about the history of art in Russia during the 20th century. Yes, during Lenin and Stalin, and what was considered radical art and what was considered required art by the government. And if you look, so a lot of stories about the, you may not know their names, but you might recognize some of the styles. And over the years, have been how influential these artists have been, even in the art world and advertising of today. So check out Revolution, New Art for a New World.
And if you don't get your nap in before you watch the film, perhaps you'll get it during the film.
That's not true.
Commentary from Sammy Terry.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, see, we don't agree on everything. It's like a TV show. Also on Blu-ray as a part of the Film Movement Classic series, and this is kind of bad timing, but anyway, the 2000 film Scarlet Diva, written, directed, and starring Asia Argento. Yes, Dario Argento's daughter, who's also been in the news recently. Good and bad, but it's the story of an actress trying to become a director, very autobiographical, could be based, and if you know underground cinema, some of the encounters that she, it's a very episodic story going from New York to places in Europe, Los Angeles, London, and her escapades, some of which kind of teeters on cinematic erotica, not porn, erotica. There's a difference. You should know that. But there are stories that come across, ones that maybe were based on her encounters with Abel Ferrara, the underground filmmaker, who has a vampire movie in his own right, the film The Addiction from the 90s with Annabella Sciorra and Christopher Walken. Check that out. But there's also a story, there's also a scene in the film where she is in the hotel suite of a famous Hollywood producer. Yeah, him, the one who's got some charges dropped against him. And so anyway, that story, and of course, there's two commentaries, one from, both of them from Asia Argento, one from 2002 and one from this year. Now, honestly, I've not heard these yet. I'm going to do that and report on these. But of course, there's also news that Asia Argento, who was a victim, has also been accused. and also found out that her then-lover, the late Anthony Bourdain, suggested payoffs. So, full disclosure, that's if you want a debate and a film discussion, yeah, Scarlet Diva is for you.
A lot of material there.
Yeah. Yes, a lot of material there. And then finally on Blu-ray, a film that needs to be lifted up a little higher. This is from Scream Factory, and it's a two-disc set of 1977's Exorcist II, The Heretic. Now, if you are of a certain age, like I am, and Sammy is, there was a book called The Golden Turkey Awards, written by Harry and Michael Medved. I don't know. Michael Medved's insane. I don't know if he was insane then, but it's a fun, fun book about the worst movies ever made, and this was published in the early 80s, and this was a book that deemed Plan 9 from Outer Space the worst film ever made. Mm-hmm. The runner-up was Exorcist 2. It's not the runner-up. We've enough time has passed. You could still say that Plan 9 is in the pantheon of bad cinema. You know, it could be up there with The Room or Birdemic or any of those, Miami Connection. But Exorcist II, The Heretic was a misfire. It was a huge misfire. But with this production, it's a two-disc set, the original theatrical release, which what John Borman was trying to do, he didn't want to call it Exorcist II. He just wanted to call it The Heretic. And he wanted to explore more of the exorcism aspect, and it was more psychological and less scary. But you're following up, at that time, one of the scariest films ever made, the original Exorcist, and more investigation and locus, less green pee, green vomit and head spinning. And
the expectation was that it would be more of that, even gorier.
No.
Where this was more of the background and the investigative.
Correct. So so you have two versions of it, and then like 3 weeks after the film opened and got scathing reviews, they did a shorter version of it that was about an hour 40 minutes as opposed to the hour 51 minutes, and you can tell in tone. But Linda Blair is back. Her character Regan is having bad dreams, but still not talking about the horrid days at Georgetown. Richard Burton is a priest who is investigating the death of the Max von Sydow character. You also have Louise Fletcher, fresh off One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, playing another horrible character, Nurse Ratched. That's a horror film of a different kind.
It certainly is.
Anyway, what Borman was trying to do was not what Warner Brothers wanted. And there seems to be the history of that with the Exorcist films. In fact, listening to a commentary, one by Mike White, who has been on this show, I have been on his podcast, talking about what was originally supposed to happen in the second film was the police investigator from the first Exorcist, played by the great Lee J. Cobb. It was supposed to be him investigating the aftermath. Lee J. Cobb died. They threw in Richard Burton. Burton apparently was in good shape, although the Golden Turkey Awards named Richard Burton the worst actor. That's also unfair. That's another discussion for another time. But this is a film. It's not the second worst film ever made. It's flawed. It looks cool. It has music by Ennio Morricone, so it can't be completely worthless, but it is not The Exorcist. In fact, one of the commentaries, there's two commentary tracks on one disc, one by John Borman, the other by consultant Michael Bosco, and of course I mentioned one by Mike White. He suggests watching The Exorcist, then watching Exorcist 3, which is an underrated film with George C. Scott and Brad Dourif, then watching Exorcist 2, which I've not done yet, and I'm trying to work on that. And you shouldn't forget that Warner Brothers also, they tried to do a prequel with the Max von Sydow character. It was like an origin story. Mm-hmm. Paul Schrader directed it. Warner Brothers hated it, fired him, brought in Rennie Harland, and there's two versions of the Exorcist prequel. So sometimes too many cooks and too many fingers in the pot, right, Sammy?
Sometimes that happens. The Nun very much follows the same type of formula, for that is the prequel backstory, which has gotten some scathed reviews because it's not quite as biting as the others.
Because that's, I believe, of The Conjuring.
That's correct. The Conjuring story.
All those
this
pictures.
This is an origin story prior to that spooky nun that appears in The Conjuring that has no relevance to the story. This is the backstory of her.
And it's not Sister Act.
It is not Whoopee Whoopee Whoopee.
All right, so go check that out now on DVD and Blu-ray. We still got a few minutes left. Hotel Transylvania 3. Let's put it this way. If Goosebumps and House of the Clocks is too much, start the youngins with Hotel Transylvania.
You bet.
Yeah, although Adam Sandler with the Dracula voice, vampire voice, kind of horrifying. Skyscraper, if you're afraid of heights, or Dwayne Johnson doing Die Hard type movies, there's that. The Evil Dead is on Blu-ray, although I thought it already was. A horror film of a different kind, and it's actually one of the best films of the year so far, the film Eighth Grade, because middle school is horrifying. And Sammy's nodding in agreement.
No one wants to go back to eighth grade.
Never. Also on Blu-ray, again, we don't know if these are just being repackaged or that it is for the first time. I believe House on Haunted Hill has been on Blu-ray before. This is the 1999 remake. It's fun watching Jeffrey Rush chew scenery. Not quite Vincent Price, but still entertaining for his aspect of it.
Well, that's exactly right. And if you'd like to compare it to the Vinnie Price one, make sure you get that on SammyTerry.com. It's volume 9 in my Nightmare Theater collection.
Also on Blu-ray, Trick or Treat from 2007? I thought that was I believe that's a remake of the 80s film. Yeah. So anyway, I believe those are all the horror titles of note, and certain films by Don Knotts are on Blu-ray, like How to Frame a Fig, Reluctant Astronaut, and Shakiest Gun in the West. So there you go there.
And if Goosebumps 2 is too horrible, if Transylvania Hotel is too horrible, try a Don Knotts film. That'll be equally as threatening.
All right. And we have some dead people we like, because we never have time for dead people we don't like. Scott Wilson, who's had quite the career, and then near the end of his career, end of his life, he was known as one of the actors from The Walking Dead. But his first two films right out the gate, he played Harvey Oberst in The Heat of the Night, and he was the taller of the two killers in the film version of In Cold Blood, with him and Robert Blake. Also did films like The Right Stuff, The Aviator, not the Scorsese one, the other one, Lady Madonna, XXX, The New Centurions, Blue City from 1986, Malone with Burt Reynolds, Geronimo, An American Legend, The Glass Harp, Dead Man Walking, G.I. Jane, and so on and so forth. So yeah, Walking Dead, he played Herschel Green. So salute to him. Audrey Wells, another... was a woman who was a writer and a director. She wrote the screenplay, one of the better rom-coms from the 1990s, The Truth About Cats and Dogs, where Janine Garofalo is the lead and Uma Thurman is the sidekick. On behalf of sidekicks everywhere, thank you. But Sammy knows that too. She also wrote the screenplays for George of the Jungle, The Kid, Shall We Dance, the American remake, The Game Plan, A Dog's Purpose. But the two films she directed, Guinevere and 2003's, I think this is an underrated, not really rom-com, but coming of a certain age, Diane Lane and Under the Tuscan Sun. Diane Lane in Italy, not horrible. And finally, Celeste Yarnell was an actress from the 60s and 70s. Appeared in things like Around the World Under the Sea, was in Live a Little, Love a Little, was Susan in Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, therefore not one of the major four, Beast of Blood from 1970, The Velvet Vampire from 1971. Yeah, we like those grown-up horror films from the early 70s, right, Sam?
We certainly do.
those are for when the little ghouls go to sleep.
That's right.
Scorpio, Fatal Beauty, Funny About Love, Driving Me Crazy, Midnight Kiss from 1993, The Two Sisters, and her last thing was a TV movie, Star Trek Equinox, The Night of Time. And if you look up Celestia, she also did, I mentioned Beast of Blood and Velvet Vampire from the early 70s. I believe those are on you can get those on one of the cult DVD websites there. All right, so as a reminder, 19th, 20th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 2 p.m. at the 28th, 7:30 elsewhere at Richmond Civic Theater, Dracula, I'm playing Van Helsing. Go to gorct.org for more information. go to SammyTerry.com. Go see Sammy. Tell him hi. Tell him to – he's available for parties, birthdays, divorces, brises, all this. It's not – he's not just for October, ladies and gentlemen. He's all year round if you let him.
You bet. And you can always catch me the first Friday of every month on my Facebook Live movie show, like you and I have experienced since the 1960s. And all the way through October, every Friday on my official YouTube channel, I'll be bringing you live performances from all over, so make sure you subscribe to that. And always go to SammyTerry.com, for I now have over 400 items in my store.
So, Sammy, always dreadful having you here.
Horrible as always.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by. Go, Soylent Green is people. Zardoz has spoken. Go see a good movie. Go see Sammy Terry and go see Dracula. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
And everyone have many pleasant nightmares. Mm-hmm.